And I'm not sure quite how to deal with that, except for one thing, to try to be honest with people when I have in fact written about them.
I remember having a conversation with a writer that I know a few months ago, and she said that she was blocked at the moment from writing, and one of the reasons was because she found herself wanting to write mostly about herself and her friends and the people that she knew, and she thought that they would really be very upset at that. And my reaction was, I care a lot about the people that I know, and I wouldn't want to offend them by making anything private about them public, but somehow it seemed to me that the process of writing and wanting experiences that are personal to be understood by a lot of people, because they are shared by a lot of people, exonerated one from that, and there wasn't anything wrong with doing it. But she said she wasn't sure.
Well, I think that, I mean, sometimes anger can also be something that one wants to write about, and bad feelings, I mean, you know, threatening feelings.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that those things do present problems, and I haven't worked out a totally satisfactory way of dealing with that in some cases.
Yeah. I keep watching the clock while we talk. I want to make sure that we can get to a lot of things that are very, very interesting to me. There was one thing that we wanted to be sure to talk about, which was, how do you touch on the things, the events in the world around one that are political in nature, and incorporate that into one's writing, especially if one is coming from a very personal place.
Right. I think we just said something that, I mean, when you said that the most personal is the most political sometimes, I mean, I think that captures it in a way. I mean, that we experience all those. Politics is what we experience. I mean, we experience, you know, the crisis of New York City, the financial crisis. We experience, you know, the arms race in terms of air raid drills, or we did in the 50s. And so I don't know. I mean, I think another myth that's been perpetuated somehow, I mean, I was telling you before the program that I could remember in college going to writing workshops where they would discuss this weighty question of, can there be a political poem?
Right, and I remembered that too.
Right, and there was this assumption that, well, you were really talking about a poem that was going to end up sounding like a pamphlet, or that would be very rhetorical, very abstract, and really very removed from people's everyday experience.
And in some way anti-poetic to do that, which I never really understood.
Well, I think if it is very abstract, mm-hmm. If it doesn't really talk about real feelings, then it is anti-poetic, but I don't see why it has to be that. And I think that contemporary women's writing, and especially a lot of writing that's being done by lesbians and lesbian poets, recognizes that very intimate connection between the personal and the political.
Mm-hmm.
And even something, I mean, I've been very interested to see that, for example, Susan Sachs and Asada Shakur have both been writing poetry in prison,
mm-hmm.
which they've been publishing.
Mm-hmm.
And so, you know, these, obviously they see a very important connection between poetry and politics.
Right. That's really true and interesting. I wanted to say about your story that I didn't realize it until this reading. I have heard it before, that I just love the humor in it. But somehow I was taken, the other times I read it, I was very taken by what you were doing with it in terms of talking about personal details of daily lives and dealing with living with a child, et cetera, et cetera. But I loved some of the humor. Two things I noted down to say. I loved the way, if looks could kill, you would keel over like a poisoned cockroach. I mean, that really got to me, because I kill cockroaches so much of the time.
Right.
In my poor New York City life. And the other thing, it was that wonderful line about maybe you should try being a mother, but we've been doing it so long, maybe we're doing something wrong. That was really wonderful. I think that's another thing I've been accused by. Well, it's been pointed out to me by many people that I tend to be too serious. And I wonder if in any of my own writing I can get to that kind of humor, but I just wanted to appreciate it because it's really special. Okay, we have, let's see, we can talk for about 5 more minutes if we want to have enough time for phone calls. And I want to talk about the questionnaire that you sent to me and that I filled out. This is Jan is writing an article on publishing and on the lesbian and the feminist choices of whether to publish with women's presses or whether to publish with commercial presses, and whether if we don't support our own presses, how will they ever grow strong? But on the other hand, we sometimes have needs to to publish with big presses. And I thought it was a really interesting questionnaire, and I would like you to talk about it.
Right. Well, I guess one thing I wanted to say about it was I wanted to mention what a few of the questions that I asked were, and unfortunately I can't give very definitive answers because I've gotten back about 20 of these things now. I originally sent out about 35 to lesbian writers around the country, and all indications to me are that the interest in the question is very strong, that people feel like we should be talking about this, but that nobody has any really good answers.
I'm glad to hear that, because that was how I felt as I filled out the questionnaire, too, so I'm glad that it's shared.
Right. Some of the questions that I asked, in addition to what you mentioned about where a lesbian writer would prefer to publish her work, and then I asked, you know, what do you think is going to happen to the lesbian presses if people take some of these other publishing options. And I asked questions about the responsibility of a lesbian writer to her community, to other lesbians who write and to other lesbians who will read her work in terms of where she publishes. And I also asked about whether lesbian writers should be getting together to encourage certain kind of publishing decisions, or discouraging people possibly from making certain decisions.
And that was the question that got me a little upset, because I didn't know what you meant by encourage or discourage, and I had visions of our women ganging up and saying, no, you did a no-no, you published with Hal Mifflin, and you should have published with Daughters, Inc., you know?
Right, well, it's very curious, because a lot of people had a very strong reaction to that, and I didn't really mean any, like, I didn't necessarily have anything specific in mind. I feel like some of it has happened already. I mean, I think in seeing what different people had to say, a lot of people were very nervous about their responses. I almost felt as though they were looking nervously over their shoulders, afraid that someone would say, you know, you've said the wrong thing. So I think we've already seen some of, you know, some people trying to dictate to other people, and I certainly don't think that that's a good thing.
Mm-hmm.
But I guess what I would think would be a good thing would be for people to start talking among themselves about, you know, what do we think are the best kinds of publishing decisions, not so that we can, you know, try to force other people to do something, but so that perhaps in some cases we can act together.
Mm-hmm.
Because I think it's really, there are no very good decisions at this point. I mean, a lot of women have reservations about publishing with the male-controlled press, women who have just a very deep commitment to having their work be seen by women.
Mm-hmm.
And personally, I feel some reservations about the fact that I see large commercial publishers as basically capitalist corporations, which is, you know, something I feel very strongly about the economic system in this country, and I don't want to feed into it if I can help that.
This is true. But one of the things that I kept coming back to again and again through all of the questions was, but if we want to reach out beyond the small percentage of women who read women's magazines and who go to women's bookstores and reach all the women in the world, they're only going to be reachable through large magazines and through large publishing houses. And how on earth are we going to reach all the sisters if we limit ourselves, et cetera? I already stated it.
Right. I think that's a really legitimate question. I mean, I certainly don't feel, I mean, if I could make an absolute choice, which I would hate to be in the position of doing, I certainly wouldn't choose to have no women publishing with commercial presses. Mm-hmm. I mean, so a lot when I ask these questions, I'm asking myself, you know, what are my decisions going to be in the future? And of course, I mean, a point that a lot of women have made is that most of us don't really have so many options.
Right.
It's not as if commercial presses are really hungry for most of our work. I mean, the few women.
The question does come up, though. I mean, I really don't go along with that. I think that it happens a lot to writers that we publish in women's things, and then we get picked up and someone makes an offer from just a magazine, you know, a large circulation magazine or a publisher, and then the decision has to be made.
Right.
And it's a hard one. Right. I wanted to see if I can remember three things I wanted to say. A, I feel strongly that your questionnaire applies not just to lesbian writers at all, but to women with a feminist consciousness.
Yes, I agree with that, absolutely. I addressed it to lesbian writers because I felt that those were mainly the writers. That's my writing community for the most part. I mean, those are most of the women that I have either some personal contact with or some knowledge of their work.
Mm-hmm.
But I certainly, you know, perhaps in the future I'll be able to get some kinds of feedback from other women too.
I think in your answers, I would think, because I know I gave it from that place, that in answers from women who are lesbian writers, they're also answering as feminist writers with feminist consciousnesses.
Right.
I mean, the only place that it becomes specific to lesbians is if you're writing specifically sexual material, and then you have a question of whether you really want this published in a place where a lot of men are going to read it and possibly get off on it.
Right. Right. Although I suppose that question comes up even if you're dealing with heterosexual scenes,
right?
For a feminist,
right, right, that's true. And I want to say that Jan is writing this, made the questionnaire, and is compiling the information and doing this for publication. So it will eventually be published somewhere, and I'll try to get Jan to let me know, and then I'll let you know where you can read this article. Okay.
Yeah. Okay.
The last thing I wanted to ask you is this. In writing, when you write material with specifically lesbian content, as this story has other content too, but a lot of it is lesbian content, do you feel that you're then limited to a lesbian audience, and how do you feel about that?
I certainly don't want to be limited to a lesbian audience. I mean, I feel like I would love for any woman to connect to the story that feels that she can, and I really don't know in terms of, you know, I mean, sometimes I suspect that perhaps a lot of women who aren't lesbians will just sort of turn off when they hear that this is a story about lesbians, but I have no way of really knowing whether that's true or not.
Mm-hmm.
I really can't say.
Mm-hmm. I'm very interested in this because it relates to this program that I'm doing, because I am doing this program for all women. And I deal with all kinds of issues. Some of them apply to every woman who could possibly be listening, and some of them are more specifically relevant to lesbian women. And it's very important to me that the women who are listening who are not lesbians can also listen with great interest to what there is to learn and share about the lesbian culture. So it's a really interesting question. Okay, now, I would like to say now where you can get Jan's work, and then ask people, tell women, you can now call. I'll give you the phone number, and then I'll tell you where you can get Jan's work while we wait for the first calls to come in. The telephone number is 371-5200. Jan's book of poems is called After Touch. It was published by Out and Out Books in 1975. You can get it at Labras and Woman Books and Oscar Wilde bookstores, which are all in Manhattan. Two of them are women's bookstores, and one of them is a gay bookstore. You can also write for it to Out and Out Books at 44 7th Avenue, Brooklyn, New York. And if you do, it costs $1.50 plus 25 cents postage and 12 cents tax. She also has poetry in the book called Amazon Poetry, which is an anthology of living lesbian poets, which is a really, really wonderful book, and it can be obtained from the same publisher, same address, different price. The price is $2 plus tax and postage. And your short story is not available anywhere right now?
It's to be published in Black Mariah, which is a feminist magazine coming out of Chicago, I believe in September or October.
Great. Okay, thank you. We've got a telephone call. And we're going to take it. Hello? I heard nothing but a noise. WBAI, you're on the air.
Hello?
Hello?
Yes, I'm calling with strictly a practical suggestion.
Okay.
Yes, I would like to state now that if an author is going to read their works on the air,
yeah,
they should at least do it in a more interesting fashion and with a more interesting topic. Thank you.
Okay, we'll go on to the next call. Do we have another call? WBAI, you're on the air.
Thank you. Hello.
Hi.
Yes, I just turned on the program 3 minutes ago, so I haven't really heard much of the format this evening, and I'm sorry that I've missed anything that's gone on.
Uh-huh.
I would like to ask a couple of questions. I have recently found out, within a space of maybe the last 60 days or so, that my sister, age 19, who is in the service, is gay.
Yes.
I would like to be able to react to her, to correspond with her, and like I don't know how to handle the situation. I'm 36. I moved out of my parents' home, you know, before she was fully grown, and we've never really known each other through the time which she was growing up.
Uh-huh.
And if I could either, be referred to certain books or magazines,
okay.
I'd appreciate it.
Okay, I think the best thing for you would be to call the lesbian switchboard. There are women there who answer telephones between 6 and 9 p.m. Monday through Friday, and they can discuss it with you at length, and I think that would really be the best answer.
Thank you very much.
No, wait, let me...
It's something that, you know, there's really no place to...
No, that's okay.
No, this
is a fine place to call for with that question, and I want to give you the number of the lesbian switchboard.
Okay.
It is 741-2610.
Okay.
Okay, good luck.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Is there another phone call? WBAI, you're on the air.
Yes, hello?
Yes, we're going to go on to the next call. WBAI. Oh, no more calls. Fine. We'll wait a few minutes. The telephone number is 371-5200 if you want to call. While we wait, I would like for Jan to read a poem.
Okay. I'll do that. This poem is called A Christmas Letter. A year since I came here, and tomorrow, Christmas, the holiday inexorably approaches, while people are sad or happy, while I sit in the laundromat watching the cars, watching a sky gone gray with high flat clouds like snow clouds, but it's warm here, though a cold winter is predicted. Watching the tough, plump, pretty teenage girls with their Brooklyn accents, dark eyes, jealous boyfriends, jeans jackets, watching Christmas lights flash behind a barred shop window, thinking of other Christmases out there in rain on the coast with the clean streets, the real trees. And your letters, Mother, come at me, airmail, like missiles out of the west, saying, when are you coming home, home, home? And last night I nearly cried in a doctor's office, reading a badly written story in some women's magazine about a family reunited for Christmas, the prodigal daughter finally married, pregnant. Yes, cried through my anger at mothers, the systems that back them, the systems they back, and all those years I believed your ladies' home journals. But now I need to tell you how today, even the high, hard surface of the sky, the littered streets of this legendary, cold city held me, told me I was home, how it is I'm happy, writing, crying, waiting for my laundry Christmas Eve. You must understand that it is too late for your measures, for I already have plans to come, separate, screaming my own song into the new world, filling my lungs with its dangerous air. You must understand, too late for what you want. We can't sit around talking in the womb anymore, for already I have begun to be born.
Thank you. WBAI, you're on the air. Hello? BAI, you're on the air. Okay, we'll have to go on to the next call because there's nobody there.
Hello?
Hello?
I'm so ignorant. I half listened to things and I missed Jan's last name, but I did want to...
Jan Clausen.
Jan Clausen. I did want to say thank you so much because I found her reading sensitive. poignant, and everything she wrote right to the point, albeit she's from Oregon and not Brooklyn. And the great Nick Kutch was marvelous for somebody who's just 3 years in the New York area. Thank you so much.
Well, thank you. It means a lot to me, you know, to have that kind of response from people.
I thought with reference to the last call that you received that it might be important to hear an opposite viewpoint right now.
That's wonderful. Thank you very much.
Good night.
Bye-bye. WBAI, you're on the air.
Hello, Patty?
No, not Patty. Who are you calling?
Oh,
You're on the air on Every Woman's Space. Is that where you want to be?
No.
Okay. Well, then you better hang up and we'll go on to the next call. WBAI, you're on the air.
Oh, it's all right. I do want to be on.
Good.
I wanted to ask, though, do you not take calls from men?
Correct. Did you not hear my statement at the beginning of the show?
No, I did not.
Okay, I'll just say it again briefly. I thought a lot about it before planning and beginning this show and decided that I really want this space to be a space for communication between women. And there are lots and lots of places where men can talk to women, but not enough spaces where women can just talk to each other. And I felt that men who have a consciousness about how seriously women are oppressed would be able to understand this, leave the space for women, and write letters if they have something valuable to say, and I'll be reading them for sure.
Uh-huh. Well, why do you have a male engineer then?
I have a male engineer because WBAI has engineers on certain shifts, and the time that I do my show, 10 o'clock Sunday night, there's a male on the shift.
Could you not request a woman engineer?
At this time, it's not possible, and he's also, I don't find that intrudes on the show at all, but it's what goes on between me and my guests and what goes over the air is what's important, not how it's done technically. The BAI has a lot of men working here, otherwise, I mean, we couldn't run it all. It's not a woman's radio station, but they do give us this time to be a woman's space.
Uh-huh, uh-huh. I didn't hear the statement, and it doesn't seem to me that it's a fruitful thing to reject men when we are complaining that men reject women.
Okay, another thing I said earlier that I'm going to repeat now, and then I'm going to go on to the next call, is this. I'm going to do a show in a few weeks where I do nothing but phone calls, and we can discuss any issues that anybody wants to talk about in relation to this show. And call back then, and we'll talk about it some more. Or else write me a letter. I'd love to hear from you.
Okay, well, I'll be listening.
Thanks so much for calling.
Bye-bye.
WBAI, you're on the air.
Hi.
Hi.
I wanted to make a point about presses.
Yes.
I think that when the women's movement goes out of vogue, as it is now somewhat in the media, that male presses will no longer publish women's literature or books at all in the same willingness that they do right now, and that is when we will need women's presses most in the future.
I think that's a very good point. That's something that I'm concerned with and something that a lot of people I've heard from are very much concerned with. It just seems like if we don't find ways to do some of it ourselves, we just have no guarantee that it's going to be done at all.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. That's all I wanted to say, really.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you for calling.
Bye.
WBAI, you're on the air.
Hello.
Okay.
Yeah, we're going to go on to the next call. No more calls. Fine. Okay, if anyone wants to call, we have a few more minutes. The number is 371-5200. Now, let's see, Jan, we had a few other things we wanted to talk about that we didn't have time for, and one of them was a general question that I'd like to talk about with other writers, which is why do you write? What's the basic reason for writing?
Well, I don't suppose there's one basic reason. I mean, I think that partly I want to order my own experience. I mean, I want to sort of tell myself a story about how I see the world, but I can't really separate that from wanting to also communicate that vision to other people. So it's weird because in some ways writing is a very solitary occupation, but in other ways one really wants it to reach out and touch other people.
Mm-hmm.
And then I suppose there's some wish for recognition too. I mean, there's some of that feeling that, you know, you want people to look at you and appreciate what you've done that I don't think any of us really escapes from.
Right. Right. What I always feel the most important thing to me is communication, which I guess is why I finally got into radio in addition to writing. I love the idea of being able to communicate what I feel to a lot of other people. I also love getting feedback, which is kind of hard when you're a writer. You don't get too much feedback.
Right. It can be very sporadic, too. You can sit in your study for 6 months and not hear anything about
it. Right. Exactly. Would you like to read one more poem before we run out of time in a few minutes?
Okay, I would.
Unless there's something else that you feel you really would like to talk about in relation to your writing or the questionnaire. Oh, one thing I wanted to say was, if anybody was especially interested in contributing to Jan's research on the subject of where women, you know, publish, she told me earlier that she would like to hear from you. And so what you could do, if you were interested in taking part in this small-scale survey, would be to write to me at the station, and I will give your name to Jan, and she can send you a questionnaire, and you can take part in it. Because I think it is a question that we all think about a great deal, and the ramifications of it are very broad. The address to write to me at, once again, because I always forget to give it, is WBAI 359 East 62nd Street, and the zip is 10021. Another thing I wanted to say is I'm going to do a program on women's diaries soon. There was a whole series done here at BAI a couple of years ago by Anne Snitow, and it was wonderful. And it's therefore not an original idea, but one that really excites me. So I'd like to ask anyone listening who feels like it to excerpt any parts of your diary that have been most immediate to you in your experiencing of the world through being a woman, and send it to me, and I'm going to put together a program where I read various excerpts from different women's diaries on specific subjects. I'll be doing that in a couple of months, so if you can start thinking about that now, that would be really great. Okay, Jan.
Okay. This is a poem that I wrote for a friend of mine who is a painter, and in the poem, I tried to sort of paint a portrait of her. It's called This Is a Poem for You, Mary. This is a poem for you, Mary, because you have power to see, make pictures I don't know how to talk about, because I would like to paint your coppery hair, your old-fashioned face, your hands energetic, your counterpoint tentative speech, because you keep big-leafed begonias on the table by the tall windows, feed cats, live in that deep-shadowed loft I dreamed of, stuffed with sisters and mothers, because you come dressed in a vestment of contradictions, because your name means Mother of God, most fucked over of women, because in a difficult month you curled up in my bed till dawn broke open the blue, brittle sky over Brooklyn, roofs flat in the cold like Paris, you said. Because you now say you are a lesbian and use the word Provence in your poems and work for a future of political solutions and keep forgetting sometimes to salt your wounds. Because of the times we've danced together in bars when we weren't sleeping with anyone. Because all my years I've been taught lies, definitions, that it's only important to write love poems to lovers. Because, sister, we are all lovers. Because you are really in my life.
That's great. Thank you, Jan, and thank you very much for being here.
Thank you.
That, once again, was Jan Clausen. I'm Irene Yarrow. This is Every Woman's Space. Next week on Every Woman's Space, we're going to be having poor women speak out with problems and some solutions. So please listen. We'll be closing now with our theme song, which is Holly Near singing Sister, Woman, Sister.
Woman, sister, can you still feel any pain? Or have they robbed you of your anger while putting Thorazina in your vein? Sister, woman, sister, have the walls grown up so high that you can't even dream of leaving and you've forgotten how to fly? Oh, sister, woman, sister, did they take away your child and they locked her up? up in some juvenile hall to grow up with.